Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's turn to 1 Samuel. And we'll look at chapter 9 is where we're going to get started. Now, remember what was happening in chapter 8 as the people ended up crying out and saying, hey, we want a king. We want to be just like other people, other nations, other peoples of the world. We want to be just like them. So we want a king. And you remember how Samuel was pretty bummed about that. He took it pretty personal. And God just kind of reminded him that, hey, it really wasn't about you, Samuel. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me as the ruler over them. And so it was more about what was happening with the people in their heart toward God than it was about anything to do with Samuel. Now, you remember, Samuel's the last of the judges, right? Last of the judges and the first of the prophets. And so as we get into this tonight, we find that he is referred to as a seer, as one that has insights and sees out into things. And as we know, ends up being referred to as a prophet then in that sense, as a seer. Interesting that as we look at this tonight, we're going to see him in kind of the role as kind of almost a type of the Holy Spirit where it comes to his interaction with Saul. So we'll watch for that as we begin, and we're going to read through a little bit, talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to start taking some application and extract some things that I think will be beneficial to all of us as we move through this. In verse 1, it says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Barakath, and the son of Ephi. You can pronounce these as you like, as usual. This is the normal stuff. A Benjamite. I can do the Benjamite part pretty good. A mighty man of power. This guy had means. He was a wealthy guy. We would just say, hey, this guy had a lot of resources. He had a lot of wealth. So he was a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. So Saul, interestingly enough, is the requested one, is kind of what that name means, the requested one, or one requested for. That's what Saul means. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So I guess he stood head and shoulders above others. I guess that's what the thought of that is. But he's a big guy. Now, you got to think about this. The people are thinking, as we often do, strictly outwardly. We think of outward appearance. It's a human condition thing. God looks at the heart. As we get into this later on and some of the stories unfold, we learn that about David. We learn, you know, the difference between the people's choice and God's ultimate choice. But the people are going to see this and recognize this. It's not bad to be good looking. It's not a bad thing, but that's not really the main quality of an individual. But the people are going to be looking at, not only is he a good-looking guy, but he's a big guy. And I know that you know that the Philistines had some big people. They had some really good-sized people. So this is going to be seemingly, hey, this is a good thing. If we're going to have a king or a leader, this big guy, he's going to be well-received. This is better for us. Now, the donkeys of Kish, so this is Saul's dad's donkeys, and again, the donkeys like our cars maybe or something, you know. This guy's got a lot of donkeys, you know. He just has a lot of stuff. It's something of value, and he has these donkeys. They were lost. Verse 3, and Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise, go, and look for the donkeys. Well, simple enough task. Regular day at the ranch. Some donkeys got loose. You know, he's sent out looking for the donkeys. I don't know how often this happened, it doesn't say, but, you know, it's kind of, there's not much mentioned of that. It's just, hey, the donkeys got loose, we got to go find the donkeys, that it was his job to go get them this time. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. So he's looking around, he's trying to find them. And then he passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not there. Everywhere they looked, he's not finding the donkeys. And then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. And when they had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us." He says, man, dad's going to start getting bummed because we haven't gotten back. We don't have the donkeys, but, you know, it's better that we deal with this now than we find, you know, then dad starts to worry because we're not back. So it's double the problem. And he said to him, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God." So the servant says to him, "Hey, look it. Great, but there's this man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." Hey, we need some insight. We need a little more direction on this. Let's go to him. Let's find out what he says. They're worried about this. The servant's like, "Dude, I don't want to go back, you know, and not have the donkeys. Let's just deal with this. Let's go talk to the man of God. Maybe he can help us out with this." This isn't, you know, in their culture, their time, this isn't super odd. This is not super different for them to, you know, have trouble with something and they go seek out, again, the seer, the one that might be able to help them deal with this situation. So, you know, okay, fair enough. Then Saul said to his servant, "But look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring the man of God. What do we have?" He says, you know, normally we would bring a gift, you know, along with us to, you know, entreat, you know, this guy or let him know, "Hey, we appreciate your help with this." And so that again, fairly customary, somewhat business as usual as he goes and approaches this situation. And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. You know, I can give this to him, happy to do it. At least we can get some information. We can find the donkeys and head for home." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, "Come, let us go to the seer, for he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer." Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. So all seems really, at this point, kind of business as usual. The donkeys are missing. Dad sent us out to get the donkeys. We're having trouble finding them. It seems kind of just mundane and business as usual for them. As they went up the hill to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them and said, "Yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for about this time you will find him." He says, man, you got to kind of get going, get to your business, because he's got a meeting he's going to get to. He's going to say blessing on this stuff. He's going to offer up the sacrifice. Then they're all going to break bread and hang out and eat together. It's just, again, this is just commonplace how they would operate and what they would be doing. So they went up to the city, and as they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the high place. Verse 15. Now the Lord, this gets interesting. Now the Lord told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me." They've been crying out. They've been saying, we want a king, you know, all this stuff. And again, having the king is not God's idea, right? We know that. That's not God's idea, wasn't for them. What did God design for them to be? A theocracy, where God would rule over them and God would be their leader, period. That was his desire. I believe that's God's desire for our lives. He wants us to be led by him, no doubt. I like verse 15. go back to chapter 8, verse 21, just real quickly. Just turn, I don't even think you have to turn the page, but if you look at verse 21 of chapter 8, it says, and we talked about this, we commented on this, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and what did he do? We commented on this and how important it was, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. What I like is verse 21 tells me that Samuel was expressing, now obviously God can hear, God knew what the people were saying, right? But what did he do? He reiterated what the people were saying. He was just recounting to God, kind of pouring out his heart, saying, God, you know, I'm troubled by this. This is what's going down. You know, and he's just kind of expressing himself to the Lord in verse 20. Now, God knows all that. Just like God knows your problems before you have them. God knows your circumstances. God knows your heart. Before you tell him, God knows. Well, why talk to him? Because God wants to hear from you. He's your dad, and he wants to hear from you. He wants to interact with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. That's part of it. I love this because all of a sudden we hear he spends time talking to the Father, and the Father talks back to him. Samuel has learned something that is very valuable to us in prayer. Prayer is not monologue. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is dialogue. And right here we find that perfectly situated for us in verse 15 of chapter 9 and verse 21 of chapter 8. As Samuel expressed his heart to the Lord, as he's expressed his heart to the Lord, God speaks back to him. And then here, even this, speaking into his ear, hey, this is what's going to come down. This is what's going to happen. Just little insights, little directives, just help to know what's going on and how to deal with things. So Samuel was aware. I like that Samuel was aware to look for what was going on. And then what I watch as this unfolds, as we go through this, we see the operation of Samuel's faith and his faithfulness. He was operated on faith, believing that God, what God said, spoke in his ear, was going to come to pass, right? He said, this guy, son of Benjamin, you know, a Benjamite's going to come, and this guy's the guy that you're supposed to anoint, and you're supposed to, you know, he's going to end up being the commander of Israel. I've heard the people's cry, just like we talked about, you know, just like Samuel had talked about with God. I heard all that, you know, I heard it. What you reiterated back to me, I heard it. I heard what the people are talking about. And then he says, now I'm responding to that. Samuel knows that, but Samuel, as we go through this, is all of this is trusting God. So faith is trusting God, but it's not just trusting in our minds. There's the action behind it. He's faithful to do what God's telling him to do. I think that's so significant. So it's not just that, oh yeah, I believe God for it. No, there's an action that went with it, and he's taking action upon that. Let's read on, and let's see exactly what I'm saying here. Verse 17, so when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is. Isn't that great? Well, gosh, I've been expecting you. You know, I just think that's great. I think that's a wonderful thing. I kind of think that way. On Sunday mornings a lot of times and Wednesday evenings. You know, I've been expecting you. You know, it's just one of those cool senses that, hey, it's good. He says, man, there's the guy. There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. It's the person that I told you was going to be there. This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is this seer's house? Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. I'm the guy that you're looking for. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. He says, I know what's going on, but there's more than what you know what's going on. We're going to talk through this pretty thoroughly when we get a little bit further along. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, don't be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on your father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least in all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall, basically the parlor area there, and had them sit in the place of honor among all those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. So in this big dining hall area, he brings those guys in. I just think this is amazing. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there also. Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for you and for me. Jesus is gone off and is prepared this place. And there will be this day where we will gather with the Lord at the table. And he is the one that is going to be serving tables as we sit at the Lamb's Supper, the feast with the Lord Jesus. Man, what a great day that is going to be. What a wonderful thought. What a great thing to think on and dwell about on. It's all in preparation. It's all happening. It's all in motion. Saul didn't know any of this, did he, in advance? Saul just kind of, you know, stumbles into it, basically. All because dad told him, hey, you got to go get the donkeys. Stay with me. This gets more interesting. Because right now, it's business as usual for all of us, right? The donkeys got out. We got to go find the donkeys. This happens. That happens. You know, I know it doesn't happen quite like that for us, but we'll get some application in just a moment. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said you set it apart. Again, this preparation. We're going to set this piece apart. I will tell you when we need it. Full expectation by faith. He's gathered these people together. He's got this whole thing's in motion because the Lord spoke to his heart. God spoke to his heart, and so it's all in motion. It's all happening. So, verse 24, the cook took up the thigh with its upper part, the shoulder, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back, it was set apart for you. Eat, for until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. And when he had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on top of the house. You know, they had, you know, it's not like us going up to our rooftops, right? It's different. The roofs are flat. That's like their patio areas, right? On their rooftops. It's different than your house. You know, you wouldn't go sit up in your rooftop. You'd probably fall off. But you can see here, this is what they did. It's kind of just this place where they took a break and kind of rest and maybe looked around and talked and visited for a while. It was probably cool up there, a little bit of a breeze. And they arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside the house, he and Samuel. So we'll stop there for a moment, and then we'll go back and we'll read the rest of this as we close out. But one of the things is we see the focus so far is the fact that from just first read through, we glance over it, we kind of say, okay, so Kish lost his donkeys. He turns to his son, Saul. Saul, look it, donkeys got out, take one of the ranch hands with you and go look for the donkeys, basically. So they get out there, and they're out milling around. Now, they're out looking for the donkeys, fixated. We got to find the donkeys. Oh, wow, it's starting to get late. We're not finding the donkeys. Better head back to the house. Dad's going to be worried about us. You know, it's just going through, and they're just focused on, we got to deal with this. The servant goes, oh, dude, I don't know. I'm thinking he's probably concerned. For you, you're the son. It might go okay for you, but I don't want to show up back at the house without the donkeys. You know, I'm just thinking in his mind, you know, he's probably thinking, I don't know. What's wild to me is this is really natural situations for them, and yet providence is at work. Man, that's so important for you and for me. Providence is at work. God doing things behind the scene, God at work, God stirring, God making situations, setting things up. God is doing something all the time. We can't always see that. We don't always know that. I think reading through Esther is a great example of that. You know, God is really not even mentioned in that, and yet he's behind the scene, that whole little book that's written of Esther. And God's not even mentioned. That's amazing, isn't it? And yet it's all about God. and all the events have to do with God. And yet he's not even really mentioned. Here, he's gone out to look for the donkeys. He's fixated on finding the donkeys. They kind of take a little bit of this detour in that, hey, the servant guy had this idea. Hey, man, maybe we ought to go talk to the seer guy. You know, he hangs out with God, and he seems to have insight. Maybe we can rap with him, find out what he knows, and see if maybe he can help us point us the right direction. He might have insight as where our donkeys are. Great, sounds good. They end up going down there. He's got a few shekels. He's going to give them that, blah, blah, blah. They get to that point. They end up, though, they come across the seer. Now, it's not perchance that they stumbled across it. Providence was at work. God was moving behind the scene all this time, orchestrating the events and the situations. Why? Why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan for his people. God has a purpose for his people. God is at work. Now, just because you and I don't see it and don't always know exactly what that is, if we're seeking the Lord, I love that idea of delighting ourselves in the Lord in the Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We always say, oh, you know, the Lord gives us the desires of our heart, but we forget that first part sometimes. Delight yourself in him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God knows your needs, he says. Jesus said, you know, the Father knows what you need. You know, he knows what you have, but man, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. The kingdom, eternal thing. Seek first the Lord, his righteousness. What is his righteousness? His righteousness is found in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what was imputed to you. That was what it was imputed to me, his righteousness. You know, and we're to seek Jesus first, and then all these things get added into our lives, the things that we need, the things that we must have and want to have, and God cares for us in that special way. So as we look at this, one of the first things that the seer, if we look at him, is just kind of representation, a type of the Holy Spirit bringing guidance and direction to Saul. They're approaching him looking for that. We would approach God looking for that. What is the first thing that happens, though? He says, hey, look it, man. Come, let's have some fellowship. The Spirit knows really what's going on better than we could ever know what's going on, because it is the Spirit of the living God. He says, man, come, let's just fellowship. Almost, let's just spend some time together. Let's just do that. Let's break bread. Let's hang out. Eat with me today, verse 19. Hang out. Just spend some time with me. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord, or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life, that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.